This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, our message is, I Can Leave My Baggage Behind.
How many of us here today want to live right? Amen. Now, catch this. I know that if I were to ask that question in any gathering of Christians, most hands are going to go up because Christians want to live right. Amen. So how come so much of the time we don't? What is it that gets in the way of us living the way we should as Christians? It's not because Christians enjoy sinning. Now, catch this for a moment. We've talked about the fact that sin is enjoyable. Anybody know that? Sin is enjoyable. That's why people do it. But Christians don't usually sin because they enjoy it so much. Why? Let me tell you why. Because if you truly are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you truly have been transformed, you have received Him into your heart, you cannot be comfortable in sin. You won't be comfortable in sin. Remember what our definition of sin is? Sin is when you know what God wants, you know what you want, and you choose to do what you want instead of what God wants. And let me tell you something. If you're a Christian and you are on a regular basis choosing to do what you want instead of what God wants, you will not be comfortable. And it will not be enjoyable. In fact, let me tell you what's going to happen. There are three things that will happen that make sin unenjoyable for a Christian. Number one. The natural, painful, self-destructive consequences of sin. The natural, painful, self-destructive consequences of sin. Does anybody know that sin is self-destructive? Why do you think God is so much against sin? Because He just wants to keep a lid on our ability to enjoy ourselves in life? No, because He knows it's self-destructive. Think about it for a moment. Who would have AIDS if it wasn't for sin? Think about it for a moment. Who would be spending the next 20 or 30 years raising a child out of wedlock with no support if it wasn't for sin? You see, sin is always self-destructive. I mean, people go out and they're going to have a big time in the world. They're going to make their mark in the world. They're going to get what they want. And they're going to have a good car and money and everything. And a couple of years later, where do you see them? Go over to Dauphin County Prison. Amen? Why? Because sin is always self-destructive. So there's no real fun in sin for a Christian. So the number one reason why Christians won't enjoy sin is because it's too painful. There are consequences to sin. Number two, God's chastisement. Catch this, Christian. God will not allow you to be comfortable in sin. God will not allow it. God will take steps. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 that God chastises those that He loves. What does that mean? When we get off the track, He will apply enough pain to give us an incentive to get back on track. And you know why God does that? Because He loves us. Amen? Somebody said God loves us just the way we are, but He loves us too much to leave us that way. Hallelujah. So God is not going to allow one of His children just to keep on going off into self-destruct mode without putting the pressure on to bring us back. God will chastise us. Now catch this. We've been talking about the grace of God. Amen? We've talked about the fact that the grace of God, which is that unmerited, unlimited favor and sufficiency of God to meet every need. The scripture says that where sin abounded, God's grace much more abounded. How many of you have sinned lately? How many of you are glad for the grace of God? Hallelujah. Pray amen. You see, it's the grace of God that covers that sin. It's the grace of God that says, even though we've messed up, God is not angry with us. God is not mad at us. You may have messed up royally. Let me just ask you. If you had to rank yourself as a sinner, how many of us would have to say, oh, I'm just the itty bitty little sinner? Don't raise your hands yet. How many of us would have to say, you know, I've been a pretty good sinner in my life? And how many of us would have to say, man, I was boss sinner. Man, I was dynamite as a sinner. I was out there in the world doing my thing. I was a, you want to know what a sinner looks like? Look at me. Hallelujah. Catch it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you were what you thought was that little itty bitty sinner, whether you thought you were a medium sinner just like everybody else, or whether you thought you were a boss sinner. Doesn't matter. The grace of God is sufficient. It covers it. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? The grace of God, the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all of our sin. And so there is no more any punishment for our sin before God. God will never punish us for our sin if you're in Christ. Why? Because Jesus already took the punishment, already paid the price. But there are still consequences. There are still consequences. And one of those consequences is that God, when we get off into sin and we don't repent, God will deliberately apply pain. How many of you know that God knows exactly where to apply it? Hallelujah. He knows how to give the maximum pain in the minimum amount of time in order to achieve the aim. But you know what the wonderful thing about it is? God chastises us, but he doesn't punish us. Punishment is payback for the past. Amen? Chastisement is an investment for the future to get us back on track. And that's what God does. So when we get back on track, the chastisement is over. Here's the third reason, though, and the most important reason why Christians can never be comfortable in sin. It costs us our fellowship with God. Sin costs us our fellowship with God, and that fellowship with God is the most precious thing we have. Amen? Oh, man, doesn't it give you comfort to know that he said, I'll never leave you and never forsake you? Isn't that a wonderful statement that God has made for us? I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. No matter what the situation is, no matter what the circumstance you're going through, we have the promise, we have the assurance that God is there with us. He's got our back. He is taking care of us. Oh, man, what sin is worth giving that up? Because the scripture tells us that God is holy. He is righteous. He is pure. In him, there is no darkness at all. And he can have no relationship with sin. So when we're walking in unconfessed sin, we put up a barrier between ourselves and God. And the scripture says that God will not even hear our prayers because our sin puts up a barrier between us and him. I'll tell you something. That's too big a price to pay. Amen. For a little pleasure, a little time of doing my own thing. It's not worth it. I want to have my relationship with God. Hallelujah. So you see, a Christian cannot be comfortable in sin. And yet we keep on doing it. We still sin. Why? What's going on? I've shared with you the example before. Here's what I think Christians are like a lot of the time. If you remember, some of you, when I was in college, I smoked a pipe. I was Mr. Cool in college, amen. Sophisticated young engineering student smoking my pipe. What I never told anybody was every time I lit that thing up, it was burning my mouth up. I'd be sitting up there smoking on that thing. My mouth would be burning, you know. I'm trying to look cool. Hallelujah. No, isn't that dumb? I mean, in the first place, I'm already damaging myself by smoking. Amen. And now, I remember I didn't even sit up in my room by myself smoking on this pipe. And my mouth is burning up. That's the way Christians are about sin sometimes. We're doing it and it's hurting us. It hurts, it's painful, and we keep on doing it. Well, what's going on? Why would we do something like that when we're not comfortable, when it's hurting us, it's painful? I'll tell you what I think is wrong. Many Christians are still subject to what I call the hog pen effect. The hog pen effect. That's a very simple thing. You take a pig who's been used to living in a hog pen. You take him out of that hog pen, take him up to your bathroom, you clean him up, take him back outside. Where does he go? Right back to the hog pen. Amen. That's the hog pen effect. Because catch it. When he looks at himself in the mirror, what does he see? A pig. And where do pigs belong? In the hog pen. And therefore, when you look in the mirror and you see something that belongs in the hog pen, you go to the hog pen. We talked about it last week. As Christians, when we look at ourselves and we see ourselves as sinners, what do sinners do? Sin. And so we always go back to that hog pen. As long as we look at ourselves and we see ourselves as sinners, as people who are limited by our own sins and limitations, instead of seeing ourselves the way God sees us, we will always go back to acting the way we used to act because we don't know who we are. And so this whole series of messages is really about finding out who we are and seeing ourselves the way that God sees us. Well, let's see the aspect of who we are that we want to focus on today. Go over to Romans chapter 6. Look at verses 6 and 7. Romans chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Here's the truth that we need to get firmly implanted in our minds and in our hearts if we're going to be able to be free from the pig pen. Romans chapter 6, look at verses 6 and 7. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. The scripture says that if you are a Christian, the truth about who you are is you have died. Can I put it this way? The pig in you is dead. Hallelujah. That piggish part of us that loved to be down in the slop and the mud and the mire is dead. And we no longer belong in the pig pen. Anybody know 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17? 2 Corinthians 5, 17. If anyone is in Christ, what is he? He is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, what? All things are become new. That's the truth about us. We are not pigs anymore, praise God. Can I be a little bit gross? A little bit gross. I was watching, I think, on the Discovery Channel, and they had a program on about hippopotamuses, hippos. And in Africa, hippos, you know, they spend most of their time in the river. And here's the gross part, all right? And I'll put it this way so the kids can get it. Hippos spend all their time in the river, and so that's not only where they lie around and bathe and drink their water and eat their food, it's also where they go to the bathroom. And what they showed was that along the bottom of this river, the whole bottom of the river was covered with the results, the waste, all right, amen, praise God. Now, just think about it. Hippos love that. They get out in that water and it's cool and everything they need is out there. They love being in the river. I want to tell you something. I don't consider myself very fastidious. You know, I can take a lot of dirt, but you're not going to see me in that river with the hippos. I'm sorry. I don't care how thirsty I get. I don't care how hot the day is. That's not a river I'm going into. Amen? Why? Because I'm not a hippo. I'm not a hippo. Catch it. What we loved when we were still in our sinful state, we get in it, we wallow in it. We have a good old time in it. Thought we were enjoying ourselves. Anybody here thought you were enjoying yourself as a sinner? Let me just see. Uh-huh. Amen. Mm-hmm. Thought we were enjoying ourselves. Once you get saved and you're not a hippo anymore, you look back at that same situation and you go, oh man, how could I ever have been in that? Oh no, I can't, I'm not going to even touch that. You see, why? Because you are a new creation. The old you, the piggish you has passed away. You're not who you used to be. And the key thing is, do you see yourself that way? Do you know who you are? Go back over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. We looked at this verse last time. Here's the way that we need to see ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Instead of looking at ourselves as somebody who belongs in a pigsty, here's the way we need to be looking at ourselves. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That we might become the righteousness of God in him. I want you to turn around and look at somebody and say, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Turn to somebody else. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Now, the next time you look at that person, that's what I want you to see. The righteousness of God in Christ. So you can't talk about the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. You can't say bad things about them. You can't gossip them down, can you? Amen. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. We are new creations. And go back over to Romans 6. We saw last week what the key word is that we need to get hold of. It's in Romans 6 chapter or verse 11. Romans 6, 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Reckon yourselves. See yourselves that way. Use that to determine how you interact in the world on the basis of the fact that you are a new creation in Christ. And let me tell you what the upshot of that is. It's in verse 14. Here's the bottom line. Because we are a new creation in Christ, because we are not pigs or hippos anymore, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under what? Under the grace of God. Hallelujah. Because of the grace of God, sin no longer has dominion over us. Now think of what that's really telling us. How many of us, when you became a Christian, you brought some baggage with you? You still had some old habits. You still had some old thoughts. You still had some old ways you used to talk, some old stuff you used to do. And even after you got saved, you still were toting that baggage around. Mm-hmm. You ever tried to put some of that baggage down?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't it seem like sometimes you put it down and it jumps back up right into your hand again, doesn't it? Amen. It's hard to put the baggage down sometimes, isn't it? I don't want to see a show of hands on this, but any Christians ever found out that you get into a tight spot and the pressure's on and your cursing returns? Amen. Amen. Uh-huh. Or here's one. I probably could, if you were honest, I know I could get some hands on this one. You tell a few lies to get where you need to get to. Amen. Uh-huh. What is that? It's baggage. It's baggage from your old life. That's pig stuff. That's hippo stuff. That's not what Christians do. That's not the way Christians are. Can any of you imagine Jesus telling a lie to get out of a tight spot? Oh, the priests and the Pharisees, they want to crucify me. So let me see. What lie can I tell to get out? Can you imagine? That's crazy, isn't it? But we as Christians sometimes fall back into our old way of life. Why? because we see ourselves still with some pig in us. Catch it. If you are a Christian, you have been freed from the power of sin, and you have been freed from the baggage of sin. You've been set free in your thoughts. Praise God. Do you know you no longer have to live in fear and worry anymore? Do you know that? That's pig stuff. We've been set free from that because we've been set free from sin. Do we have any worriers in the house today? Let me just see. Honesty, any worriers in the house? Uh-huh, amen. Do you know worry is pig stuff? And we have been set free. We don't have to walk in worry anymore. I've shared with you, my mom used to tell me all the time, I'd say, Mom, don't worry. You shouldn't be worrying. You're a Christian. God's going to take care of you. Don't worry. She'd say, I can't help it. And I love my mom. Hallelujah. But she was wrong. If you're a Christian, you don't have to walk in worry anymore. You don't have to walk in fear anymore. God has already given us a release from that. He's freed us from that stuff. Hatred and bitterness in your heart against somebody. All of that, God has set us free. He's given us the power to walk in faith. Amen. The power to walk in forgiveness, the power to walk in love, the power to be joyful in the midst of difficult circumstances. You see, we've been set free. We can put the baggage down, praise God. We talked last time about people telling you you can't do something. Let me just take it a step further. How many of us have ever looked at ourselves and said, you can't? Amen? Mm-hmm. You know what? That's pig stuff. That's pig stuff. Because anything that God has set before us that we can do that's in His will, guess what? I can do how much? All things in Christ who strengthens me. Amen? See, that's what the new thing is. That old I can't stuff, that's baggage. And put it down. Leave it behind. You are now, as a Christian, you have been set free from slavery to sin, and you are free to become all God created you to be. You are free to become a great man and a great woman of God. I don't know how you see yourself today, but I want you to understand this. You can be among the best God has got. You can. You don't need to look at somebody else in some other church, someplace else. You don't need to turn on the TV and see Billy Graham or T.D. Jakes or somebody else to see the example of the man or the woman that God wants us to be. You can look in the mirror and begin to see that person. Why? Because God has set you free from what was holding you in bondage, holding you down. You can be the best that God has on this earth. You can be that person of integrity that somebody can look at and know that because you are walking with Jesus, if you said it, you mean it, and it will be done. You can be that person. You can be that person of such integrity that you know that whatever you say to that person, if you tell them something in confidence, it'll never be spread around. You don't have to worry about them picking up the phone and saying, oh, child, did you know? Why? Because they're the best God has. Praise God. You can be the person that when somebody gets on your nerves, somebody says something or does something that doesn't seem right or doesn't seem fair to you, that instead of reacting the way your flesh wants to react, which is what? Knock them down. Physically or verbally. Amen. Most of us, we're civilized enough to do it verbally instead of physically, but guess what? It's just as bad. Amen. But instead of being that person that reacts out of our flesh when we are insulted or when we are put down, when somebody offends us, we know the scripture says what? Bless those who persecute you. So you can be the one that can be counted on, that even when people do stuff to hurt you, instead of reacting with gossip and criticism, you're the one that's going to be lifting them up before the Father. Because what does the scripture say? Pray for them. Pray for them. Amen. I was just thinking, you know, some of us, the way we pray, we say, oh, Lord, I want them to go to heaven, and please take them there soon. No, that's not the way we pray for them. Hallelujah. You see, you can be the one that exemplifies the very best that God has. Why? Because you have been set free from what was holding you in your old way of life. We need to see ourselves as people who are no longer slaves to sin. That's what the word is telling us. In fact, take it a step further. Look at verses 17 and 18 of Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Not only are we no longer slaves of sin, but God takes it even a step further. Romans 6, starting with verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became what? Slaves of righteousness. You see, we need to see ourselves not only as those who have been set free from slavery to sin. We have put that old baggage down. We are no longer in the hog pen or the pigsty. But beyond that, how many of you know that there is no such thing as freedom that means just doing what you want to do? That is not freedom. Think about this. We have what's called in professional sports today, free agency. That means that the player can choose among competing teams for the best offer. But catch this. You may be a free agent, but you don't have the freedom to play the game until you belong to somebody's team. Isn't that right? I mean, you may be the best player in the world, but until you sign on the dotted line to become part of somebody's team, the Philadelphia Eagles or the Baltimore Ravens or whoever it is, until you become part of somebody's team, you can't even play the game. You see, there is no freedom until you're serving the right master. And that's what God is telling us. Look, everybody's going to serve somebody. Everybody's serving somebody. You just need to choose the right master. You used to be serving the devil. And the devil's purpose was to kill you. Amen? He says, now you've become servants of righteousness. You've become servants of God. When you know that you're a slave of Jesus Christ, that's when you're free. That's when you are free to become everything God wants you to be. The Word of God says we will never be a slave. If you're a Christian, you will never be a slave to any man. You will never be a slave to anybody else on this earth, including, by the way, your own fleshly desires, your own fleshly lusts. You will never be a slave again once you become the slave of Jesus Christ. And when I become the slave of Jesus Christ, guess what? I can't be the slave of Satan anymore. Praise God. I'm free.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Dairy Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.